Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
The day is at hand. That's what we are told in Romans 13 and verse 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. And this is something that the Apostle Paul wants God's people to know. And the day that is at hand is the day of Christ's return and those things that follow his return. And often when we read in the Bible about the day, the emphasis is upon the day of judgment. But at any rate, it is the day when Christ will return and will take up his glorious reign. The night is far spent. That is the night of sin, the night of Satan's dominance over the world. But the day is at hand, the day when Jesus Christ will come and will vanquish all rebels, all foes, Satan and men who are in any way in rebellion against God and the rule of Christ's righteous kingdom will come in. That wonderful day when righteousness shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And so that day, we are told, is at hand. Now, Paul said that in the first century. Here we are in the 21st century. So what are we to make of this when Paul tells us the day is at hand? Some have assumed that the answer is that Christ didn't intend to come in any kind of a conspicuous way, and that, as a matter of fact, he's already come. Some have told us that Christ returned in 70 A.D. with the destruction of Jerusalem, and that's the day that is being referred to here, the day of judgment, of destruction upon Jerusalem. Paul said it was at hand, and indeed it came very quickly after he wrote those words. However, that does not square with what else the Bible teaches us about the day of Christ's return, namely that when Christ returns, he will return bodily and visibly and gloriously. Read about it in Acts chapter 1, verses 9, 10, and 11. Nothing could be plainer or clearer than the words of the angels to the disciples there, who said, "This same Jesus, which was taken up from you in heaven, shall so come, in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." And when you put the various words and phrases of that declaration together, there's only one possible conclusion, and that is that Jesus will return the same way he left, that is, in his body. He will return in the same manner that he left, that is, he will descend in a great Shekinah cloud of glory, and that he will be seen when he returns, as he was seen when he departed. And so there really is no possible fulfillment of these kinds of predictions except by the visible, bodily, glorious return of Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is talking about here when he says the night is far spent, the day is at hand. However, again, we are still left with that tension between the immediacy of what Paul spoke in the first century and the fact that 20 centuries have gone by and Christ hasn't come yet. When Paul said the day is at hand, it sounds like he was saying it's very close. And now 2,000 years have gone by, and the day has not arrived yet. And the only thing that I can offer by way of explanation is that the Bible consistently teaches us that every generation of Christians should expect Christ's return during their lifetime. His return is always imminent. It is imminent to every generation of believers. The day will come when he will come. And the fact that it has been longer than maybe we thought it would be is no deterrent to the prophecy, the infallible prophecy, that he will come. And we don't want to be like the scoffers that Peter talks about in 2 Peter chapter 3, who say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were." In other words, generation after generation comes and goes and dies, and another generation rolls on, another century rolls around, and he doesn't come and nothing changes, and it's beginning to look like there's nothing to this prophecy. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. But be believers. And understand that our Lord wants every believer in every generation, in every century, to anticipate the possibility of Christ's return during his lifetime. In fact, the possibility of Christ's return at any time. And if we are always ready for the possibility of his return today, then we will be in good shape whenever that day comes. If I'm living today as if he may come today, then if he comes today, I'll be fine. And if he doesn't, I still will be much better off than if I disregarded the promise of his coming and lived as if it was not true. If I live every day in the anticipation of Christ's return, then whenever that day comes, or whenever my day comes to leave this world, I will be in good shape when I give an account for my life before the judgment seat of my Lord. If I have truly lived every day with Christ's imminent return in view, then I will have spent my life serving Christ, won't I? What do I want the Lord to find me doing when he returns? Well, I want him to find me faithful, obedient, busy with the interests of his kingdom, concerned about those things which are eternal, more concerned about things eternal than things temporal. Now, if that's the way I live today, and that's the way I live tomorrow, and that's the way I live the day after tomorrow, and that's the way I live all the days of my life with the expectation of his imminent return at any possible moment, then when I stand before him, I will have lived a good life, a productive service for my Savior. I will not be ashamed before him at his coming, nor will I be ashamed before him at my appearance in his presence. But you see, the day of his coming is the day of our accountability. It is the day of judgment when we shall all stand before him and give an account. And that day comes for all of us when he returns, regardless of whether we are living on the earth or dead at the time of his return. We are still all waiting for the day of his return to give an account. So, we want to live every day as if that could be the day that we are going to give an account. And if we die before that day comes, we will still be in good condition when that day comes and we give an account. But we will not be in very good condition if we disregarded his word, paid no attention to these statements, acted as if they were not true, acted more like a scoffer than a believer. "No, no," said Paul. "No, no. And this knowing the time, that now it is high time to awaken out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand." And I don't need to remind you that we are now living in the last days and have been ever since Christ came the first time. The last days were ushered in by the first coming of Christ. The last days are that period of history, that era, that period of history that marks the time between Christ's first coming and his second coming. Those are the last days. The coming of Christ brought light. The coming of Christ and his dying on the cross and resurrection from the tomb brought defeat, certain defeat to Satan. He's just waiting for the final tug on his chain, you might say. But Christ's coming inaugurated the kingdom of God, which will be fully consummated at the second coming, and we are living in the last days, and there is an overlap period of the receding darkness and the impending dawn, and Christians already belong to the kingdom of light, which is inevitable, and we are living by faith in the light of the kingdom which is to come, so live like it. Live in the light of these truths. Live like sons of the kingdom. Live like those who belong to the kingdom and who are occupying until he comes. That is, as faithful, obedient citizens of his kingdom, soldiers in his army, a conquering army, occupying conquered territory until our king comes to take up his reign. That's what we are supposed to be doing, and we should be living every day with these truths in mind. And so with this knowledge, something for us to know, there is, secondly, something for us to do. And he goes on to say, therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. That's what we are to be doing in the light of the time, which is at hand. The day is far spent. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. What are we to do? Let us, number one, verse 12, cast off the works of darkness. Lay aside the deeds of darkness, forsake them, denounce them. If there are any of those in your life, get rid of them. And put on the armor of light, of truth, of righteousness, as armor, as a defense against sin and defeat, and as offensive armor, as soldiers striking effective blows against sin and darkness in this world. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. That's what we are to be doing. What are we to be doing? Number two, let us behave properly as in the day, according to verse 13. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, not in carousing, not in orgies. That's literally what this is saying. Not in drunkenness, not in promiscuity, lewdness, sexual promiscuity, not in strife, that's persistent contention. We must have our own way regardless. Not in any of these things, oh no. Not in envying, not in jealousy, not in selfish ambition. Guard your heart against these things. Examine your life for these things. Recognize that if there are those things in your life, they need to be rooted out quickly, 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 as if the Lord were coming today. Get your life ready for his return. Get your house in order. Get your affairs in order. Get your relationships in order. Get your conduct in order. Be ready for the coming of the King. And live that way every day. You'll be glad that you did. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.